Columbia Workshop presents Norman Corwin's Poetic License. Tonight, in the first experimental program of its kind, the workshop offers a new treatment of the very old art of poetry, a technique of orchestration and augmentation created expressly for radio. This technique adapts for the enjoyment of the ear poems written originally for the eye, and in doing so, full use is made of the freedom implicit in the title, Poetic License. First, we hear an arrangement of Vachel Lindsay's poetic sermon, The Daniel Jazz.
Darius de Mead was a king and a wonder. His eye was proud and his voice was thunder.
That was me, Darius the King, speaking. They called me a wonder, and I think they're right about that. Have a cigar, my friend. And by the way, have you seen the fine lions in my den?
He kept bad lions in a monstrous den. He fed up the lions on Christian men.
Yeah, lions. Here's a couple of nice fat Christians for you.
Now, Daniel was the chief hired man of the land. He stirred up the jazz in the palace band. He whitewashed the cellar. He shoveled in the coal. And Daniel kept a-praying.
Lord, save my soul.
Daniel kept a-praying.
Lord, save my soul.
Daniel kept a-praying.
Lord, save my soul.
Daniel was the butler, swag and swell. He ran upstairs. He answered the bell.
Who's there, please?
This is old man Ahab a-calling.
Will you step right in here, please?
And he would let in whoever come a-calling. Saint so holy, scamp so appalling.
Old man Ahab leaves his card. Elisha and the bears are waiting in the yard. Here comes Pharaoh and his snakes a-calling. Here comes Cain and his wife a-calling. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for tea. Here comes Jonah and the whale and the sea. Here comes old Beelzebub a-calling.
And Daniel kept a-praying.
Lord, save my soul.
Daniel kept a-praying.
Lord, save my soul.
Daniel kept a-praying.
Lord, save my soul.
Now, Daniel's sweetheart and his mother were Christian and meek. They washed and ironed for Darius every week. One Thursday, Darius met them at the door. Paid him as usual, but acted sore.
Now, here's your wages as up to weekend and Thursday, which is today.
Oh, thank you, Darius. Thank you, Darius.
And by the way, your Daniel is a dead little pigeon. He's a good hard worker, but he talks religion. He talks religion all the live long day. Now, y'all come with me. Just step this way.
And he showed him Daniel in the lion's cage. Daniel standing quietly, the lion's in a rage. Good old mother cried,
Lord, save him.
And Daniel's tender sweetheart cried,
Lord, save him.
And she was a golden lily in the dew. And she was as sweet as an apple on a tree. And she was as fine as a melon in a cornfield. Gliding and lovely as a ship on the sea. Gliding and lovely as a ship on the sea. And she prayed to the Lord,
Then Gabriel, then Gabriel. Then Gabriel, then Gabriel.
But King Darius said to the lion,
Bite, Daniel. Bite, Daniel. Bite him, bite him, bite.
And thus roared the lion,
We want Daniel, Daniel, Daniel. We want Daniel, Daniel, Daniel.
And Daniel did not frown. Daniel did not cry. He kept on looking at the sky.
No, I ain't gonna frown. I ain't gonna cry. I'm just going to keep on looking at the sky.
And the Lord said to Gabriel,
Go chain the lions down. Go chain the lions down. Go chain the lions down. Go chain the lions down.
Yes, Lord, right away, Lord.
And Gabriel chained the lions. And Gabriel chained the lions. And Gabriel chained the lions.
Well, that's done. Now you can't stay put there.
And Daniel got out of the den.
I'm a-getting out of here.
And Daniel got out of the den.
I'm on my way out of this place.
And Daniel got out of the den.
I is out of the den. And I'm a-going to see King Darius first thing I do.
And Darius said,
You're a Christian child.
Darius said,
You're a Christian child.
Darius said,
You're a Christian child, Daniel.
Why, thank you, Darius.
And he give him his job again.
Is you going to give me my job back again?
Surely. Surely.
Praise be to the Lord.
That's right, Daniel. You're a Christian child.
And he give him his job again.
Praise be.
And he give him his job again.
Praise be.
You take back the job, Daniel. Report Monday.
And now, a very different type of poem. Samuel Haskell's Clair de Lune. a poem whose simple idyllic title leaves one unprepared for the impressionistic realism which follows.
Far off in the night, drums. No mask, no burger mask, no lute, no caroling, just drums. Drums, 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 drums. Say it again, drums. Again, again. Men are marching tonight to kill men. Men are marching tonight to kill men. Men are marching tonight to kill men. In the moonlight.
A more amiable poem is this next one, William Rose Benet's ballad, Jesse James, which bears the subtitle, A Design in Red and Yellow for a Nickel Library.
Say, partner, have you seen anything of Jesse James around here?
No, I ain't.
Well, we're hunting him. Horse and afoot we're after Jess. We're aiming to take him alive. Are you with us, partner?
Give me my gun.
Jesse James was a two-gun man.
Roll on, Missouri.
Strong-arm chief of an outlaw clan.
From Kansas to Illinois.
He swirled an old Colt 45.
Roll on, Missouri.
They never took Jesse James alive.
Roll, Missouri, roll.
Jesse James was king of the West.
Cataracts into Missouri.
He'd a diamond heart on his left breast.
Round, Missouri, roll.
He'd a fire in his heart no hurt could stifle.
One down, Missouri.
Lion eyes and a Winchester rifle.
Missouri, roll down.
Jesse James rode a pinto horse, come at night to a watercourse. Tense with a rowel left pinto's flank, she sprung the torrent from bank to bank. Jesse rode through a sleeping town, looked the moonlit street both up and down. The street ran flames and a great voice cried,
I'm Jesse James!
Horse and a foot thereafter, Jess.
Roll on, Missouri.
Spurring and spurring, but he's gone west.
Round, Missouri, roll.
He was 10 foot tall when he stood in his boots.
Lightning and like the Missouri.
More than a match for such galoot.
Roll, Missouri, roll.
Jesse James rode out of the sage. Round the rocks come the swaying stage. Straddle on the road, a giant stands. And a great voice bellers,
up your hands!
Now, just hand over them diamond rings. That's right. And now, them big gold watches, gentlemen, if you don't mind. Now, how about them wallets?
You can't do this to us.
How about them wallets?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where's that kid crying from?
Inside the coat.
Bring her out.
What you gonna do with it?
Bring her out, I said!
What's the matter, little girl?
I lost my ma.
Why, what you mean you lost your ma?
She ain't here anymore.
Oh, now, why, that's a downright shame. Oh, now, look, you just stop crying. I'm going to give you some of this nice, pretty jewelry. Now, here, you haul out your hand. There. And there. And here. And there.
Jesse raked in the diamond rings, the big gold watches and the other things. Jesse divvied them and thar with a crying child that lost her ma.
All right, little girl. Now you just stop your crying and don't give any of this stuff away. It's yours. And anybody who takes it from you is going to hear from me. Did you hear that, all of you? All right, then. Goodbye. And have a pleasant trip. Get up! Get up!
Get that fellow.
Let's go after him.
Why can't you trap him somehow?
Sure, stalk him till you catch him.
Sure, let's get a going.
Give me my gun.
They're creeping. They're crawling.
They're stalking Jess.
Roll on, Missouri.
There's a rumor he's gone much further west.
Roll, Missouri, roll.
There's word of a Caius hitched to the bars.
Woody clouds on, Missouri.
Of a golden sunset that busts into stars.
Missouri, roll down.
Jesse James rode hell for leather. He was a horse and a man together. In a cave in a mountain high up in air, he lived with a rattlesnake, a wolf, and a bear.
Listen, you critters, I wish you'd keep this place looking neater. Where am I going to stack all my gold and jewelry if you keep dragging all your friends in here? What you think this is, a zoo?
Jesse's heart was as soft as a woman. Her guts and strength, he was superhuman. He could put six shots through a woodchucker's eye. And taking one swallow, a gallon of rye. They sought him here, and they sought him there.
Roll on, Missouri.
But he strides by not through the ways of the air.
Round, Missouri, roll.
They say he was took, and they say he's dead.
Thunder, Missouri.
But he ain't. He's a sunset overhead.
Missouri, down to the sea.
Jesse James was a Hercules. When he went through the woods, he tore up the trees. When he went on the plains, he smoked the ground, and the whole lung shattered for miles around. Jesse James wore a red bandana that waved on the breeze like a star-spangled banner. In seven states, he cut up Jade Owen. He's gone with the buffler and the desperadoes. Yes, Jesse James was a two-gun man.
Roll on, Missouri.
The same as when the song began.
From Kansas to Illinois.
And when you see a sunset bust into flames.
Lightning like the Missouri.
Or a thunderstorm blaze. That's Jesse James.
Hear that, Missouri, roll!
Jesse James was one type of killer. But in a poem by Carl Sandburg, we have a psychological portrait of another kind of killer. The executioner hired by the state to carry out sentence on a convicted murderer.
Kill, 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 kill. Kill, 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 kill.
I am put high over all others in the city today. I am the killer who kills for those who wish a killing today. Here is a strong young man who killed. There was a driving wind of city dust and horse dung blowing. And he stood at an intersection of five sewers. And there pumped the bullets of an automatic pistol into another man, a fellow citizen. Therefore, the prosecuting attorneys, fellow citizens.
Gentlemen of the jury!
And the jury of his peers, also fellow citizens.
Gentlemen of the jury, listen to the testimony of other fellow citizens, policemen, doctors.
And when I got there, I found the body of the victim lying on the sidewalk. So I went over and found he was already dead.
My examination revealed that bullets had penetrated the apex of the right lung, the peritoneum, and the lower ventricle of the heart. Any of these wounds might have been...
I'm going to the movies to see a gangster picture. And all of a sudden, I hear three shots. And I look around, and there's a guy standing with a gun in his hand. So I began to run.
And after a verdict of...
guilty!
The judge... a fellow citizen said.
I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until you are dead.
So there is a killer to be killed, and I am the killer of the killer for today. I don't know why it beats in my head in the lines I read once in an old school reader.
I'm to be queen of the May, mother. I'm to be queen of the May. I'm to be queen of the May, mother. I'm to be queen of the May.
I'm to be queen of the May, mother. I'm to be queen of the May. Anyhow, it comes back in language just like that today. I am the high honorable killer today. There are 5 million people in the state. 5 million killers for whom I kill. I am the killer who kills today for 5 million killers who want a killing.
Kill, 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 kill.
Zane, we hear next an impressionistic picture of the electric advertising signs on Broadway, written by Norman Corwin and entitled Interview with Signs of the Times.
Blink and twinkle.
Wriggle and wrinkle.
Twist and squirm.
Act like vermin.
Lift a wee.
Magistery. We litter the sky.
We're blinking, winking, winking.
Blinking, blinking, winking, winking.
Blinking, blinking, winking, winking.
Up we go now. And now we go down.
Up we go now.
Now we go down.
And then we go
sideways. Sideways. Sideways.
And some go round
and 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 round.
We offer you shows and vend you clothes, advertise booze and flash you news, sell you tires and make you buyers of coffee and gum and toffee and rum and sugars and spices and flavored ices, tobacco and wood and ham and cotton, goods that are good and goods that are rotten,
goods that are good, goods that are good, goods that are good, goods that are good, goods that are good.
We dancified as rumbas in overwhelming numbers.
We dancified as rumbas in overwhelming numbers.
Fandangos.
And dangles.
And jazz.
And razzmatazz.
Hey!
Nonny, 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 hey!
And now and then we spell.
F-T-E-L-L, spell, spell.
Why do we spell? Well, you see, we spell in order to spell, you see. F-T-E-L-L, spell, spell.
Our twitching is bewitching.
From the twitching advertising signs of Broadway, we go to a quiet New England hill over Tilbury Town, where we find Edwin Arlington Robinson's character, Eben Flood, on his way to Mr. Flood's party.
Old Eben Flood, climbing alone one night over the hill between the town below and the forsaken upland hermitage that held as much as he should ever know on earth again of home, paused warily. The road was his, with not a neighbor near, and Eben, having leisure, said aloud, for no man else in Tilbury Town to hear,
"Well, Mr. Flood, we have the harvest moon again, and we may not have many more. The bird is on the wing, the poet says. And you and I have said it here before. Drink to the bird."
He raised up to the light the jug that he had gone so far to fill and answered huskily,
"Well, Mr. Flood, since you propose it, I believe I will."
Alone, as if enduring to the end a valiant armor of scarred hope, outworn, he stood there in the middle of the road like Roland's ghost, winding a silent horn. Below him in the town among the trees, where friends of other days had honored him, a phantom salutation of the dead rang thinly till old Eben's eyes were dim.
"How be you, Eben?
Come in, Eben, and make yourself to home."
"It's right good to see you, Eben Flood.
Won't you stay and have a bite of supper with us?"
"How be you, Eben?"
"Come in, Eben, and make yourself to home."
Then, as a mother lays her sleeping child down tenderly, fearing it may awake, he set the jug down slowly at his feet with trembling care, knowing that most things break. And only when assured that on firm earth it stood, as the uncertain lives of men assuredly did not, he paced away, and with his hand extended, paused again.
"Well, Mr. Flood, we've not met like this in a long time. Many a change has come to both of us, I fear, since last it was we had a drop together. Welcome home."
Convivially returning with himself, again he raised the jug up to the light, and with an acquiescent quaver said,
"Well, Mr. Flood, if you insist, I might. Only a very little, Mr. Flood, for auld lang syne." No more, sir. That will do."
So, for the time, apparently did. And Eben evidently thought so too, for soon amid the silver loneliness, he lifted up his voice and sang, secure, with only two moons listening, until the whole harmonious landscape rang.
In the days of old,
the weary throat gave out. The last word wavered, and the song being done, he raised again the jug regretfully and shook his head and was again alone. There was not much ahead of him, and there was nothing in the town below where strangers would have shut the many doors that many friends had opened long ago.
It's a far cry from Tilbury Town to the Britain Channel, but we travel fast in radio. Edwin Lear, famed for his limericks, wrote some delightful nonsense verse. From the pages of the latter, we adapt his exposition on the pobble who has no toes.
The pobble who has no toes had once as many as we. When they said,
someday you may lose them all,
he replied,
fish diddle dee dee.
And Aunt Jabiska made him drink lavender water, tinged with pink, for she said,
the world in general knows there's nothing so good for a pobble's toes. Now drink it down. Go ahead and drink it. It's a good deal better than you may think it.
All right, Aunt Jabiska. Glug.
The pobble who has no toes swam across the Bristol Channel. But before he set out, he wrapped his nose in a piece of scarlet flannel, for his Aunt Jabiska said,
no harm can come to his toes if his nose is warm, and it's perfectly known that a pobble's toes are safe, provided he minds his nose.
The pobble swam fast and well. And when boats and ships came near him, he tinkledy-binkledy-winkled a bell, so that all the world could hear him. And all the sailors and admirals cried when they saw him nearing the further side,
he has gone to fish for his Aunt Jabiska's runcible cat with a crimson whiskers.
But before he touched the shore of the Bristol Channel, a sea-green porpoise carried away his wrapper of scarlet flannel. And when he came to observe his feet, formerly garnished with toes so neat, his face at once became forlorn on perceiving that all his toes were gone.
Goodness sakes, my toes are gone.
And nobody ever knew, from that dark day to the present, whoso had taken the pobble's toes in a manner so far from pleasant. Nobody knew, and nobody knows, how the pobble was robbed of his twice five toes.
Gee whizzikers, why did they pick on my toes?
The pobble, who has no toes, was placed in a friendly box, and they rode him back and carried him up to his Aunt Jubiska's park.
Hello, Aunt Jubiska. I lost my toes and I'm hungry.
Well, you sit right down here.
Awful hungry.
And she made him a feast at his earnest wish of eggs and buttercups fried with fish. And she said,
it's a fact the whole world knows. The pobbles are happier without their toes.
Yeah.
One of the finest bits of whimsy ever written is the late Jake Falstaff's Reinie Kugel, Lover of This Earth. From this lusty fantasy comes the ballad of the terrific wrestling bout between Reinie, who loved his stein of beer above all things, and the wind, who went around bullying people. The ballad is entitled, How Reinie Kugel Wrestled with the Wind.
And mind now how a ballad was made concerning Reinie Kugel's love for his stein, and how he defended it from the strongest enemy in the world.
The wind came raving out of the west with fury in his eye, and he hugged the windmills to his breast and threw them into the sky. He pressed the ships that were on the sea against the ocean floor, and the mountains of water at his knee he chased a mile ashore.
There, that ought to flood plenty of cellars. I feel so strong today, I guess I'll smash me a few houses.
He has snatched the roof from Reinie's shed
and
punched it with a shout.
Very flimsy indeed.
And Reinie Kugel woke and said,
what's all the fuss about?
The wind looked down at the little man that spun his beard below, and snatching from his hand his boozing can and bellowed loud,
I can break your house for my private mirth, and break your house I will. And I'll blow you three times round the earth, and smash you on your sill. And when they have laid your corpse away and straightened out your bones, I will snatch you out of your solid clay and kick you around till Judgment Day as a tramp kicks little stones. See what's left of your pretty house now!
Aha! And Riney stood at his cellar wall, where once his house arose, and his heart was full of a bitter gall. The wind was large, and he was small, but Riney Kugel cared not at all, and well his words he chose.
I have carried that stein for 7 years, and owned it a many more, and I could not count all the creamy bills that it has helped me pour. For the shouted brags of a crazy lout,
what?
I care not a puppy's whine. But by the devil and all his rout, and the glassy word that the hexing shout, and the cloak that won't turn inside out, you have taken my favorite sign. You have taken my house and the shed and pen. And as to that, all right. You may take the goat and the cow and hen and all that I have in the world of men. But if you don't give me my stein again, by God, I shall have to fight.
The wind looked down at the little man that spun his beard below and spoke his word for a boozing can and bellowed loud.
Oh! I know a stretch of level sand at the shore of a quiet sea. Will you walk that way with me?
Oh, I should say I would.
And let us be on our way.
Have come to the salty, sloping beach where the sea is low and sad, and they hear the stricken seagulls screech like dead men's souls gone mad.
Are you ready?
Quite ready!
Then let us commence to wrestle.
By all means, little man!
They are come to grips by the ocean side, and chest to chest they stand, with their parted legs in the lapping tide and their toes in the slipping sand. Riney clings to the wind's throat as a sinner clings to life, and under the flap of his jersey coat his hand is on an eye. The wind's tail threshed the hissing sky and swept the stars away, and the waves of the sea ran red and high, and the mountains knelt to pray.
Help! My throat!
But the grip on his throat the wind couldn't break, and he cried like a wounded loon. And his tail threshed out like a frightened snake and whipped a town from the moon. They fought from the dawn when the dawn began to break, and they fought in the heat of noon. When the sun was low in the western street and made the windows shine, the wind knelt down at Riney's feet and gave him back his stein.
Here is your stein.
Now, I have a windmill in my yard that turns whenever you blow. If you turn it always good and hard, why, maybe I'll let you go.
I will. I'll turn it always good and hard if you will let me go. Forever I will.
So Riney picked up his favorite stein and set his foot in the wind's spine and kicked him over a tree.
You have been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of Poetic License, a new type of program involving the combined techniques of orchestration and augmentation of poetry. This feature was arranged and directed by Norman Corwin. And if any of you listeners would like to hear more programs of this type, if you have favorite poems you would like to hear performed in this fashion, or if you have any comment whatever to make, please address your communications to the Columbia Workshop in care of the station to which you are listening. This is Kenneth Roberts speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.